This is Kevin Burke from the Department of Kinesiology, Leisure, and Sports Sciences at East Tennessee State University. Thanks for joining Burke on Mayberry. We're looking at the episode entitled Andy and the Gentleman Crook. The original air date was February 27th, 1961. It was written by Ben Gersman and Leo Solomon and directed by Bob Sweeney. This is a really interesting episode because it brings in a character known as Dan Caldwell. And he was called a gentleman crook simply because of his demeanor, the way he interacted with people. He's always very friendly and was able to really get people on his side, even on the law enforcement side. So it's really interesting how this episode is set up. With you start out with something they did a couple of times in the early episodes in the Andy Griffith Show. It starts out with Andy telling a story, and it's his version of Jack and the Beanstalk telling it to Opie. And, of course, Barney's listening in as well. And one of the things that you have to understand about the Barney Fife character is the writers will tell you that they really saw Barney as a big child. So a lot of times they saw him on Opie's level. He was just simply, he was an adult. So, and again, in this scene, you see Barney, he's paying as much attention to this story as Opie is. So then they start, Andy gets a phone call, and he finds out that Dan Caldwell is going to be brought to the Mayberry Jail for a few days, and Barney gets excited because Dan Caldwell is this well-known criminal. He's been on heists and that are famous, and he knows John Dillinger, and he's just full of all kinds of stories. So Barney starts, in his typical overreacting situation, he starts cleaning up the courthouse. Basically, he's going to treat Dan Caldwell as a celebrity throughout the entire episode. Even gets his autograph, which I think may be the only time you see Barney get somebody else's autograph that on the Andy Griffith Show. One of the things I always get a kick out of, this is one of the episodes where Barney fires his gun off accidentally in the courthouse, and after he does it this time, of course, Andy jumps on him and threatens not to give him any more bullets, and Barney said he lost two bullets in the laundry, and said the bullets were getting green in his pocket, and he wanted to put them in the gun. So Andy said, all right, I'll give you one more bullet. Now, this is an important part of the episode because it comes into play a little bit later. Well, again, I told you Barney was getting excited because Dan Caldwell's coming, so he starts cleaning up the courthouse, even changes pictures on the walls. It's funny, as one picture of a boat on the water, and he wanted to put that in Dan Caldwell's jail cell because it made him feel of his home jail, Alcatraz. Also, Otis happens to be in the cell, and so Barney decides, you know, we can't have just a common drunk in the jail when Gentleman Dan comes to town. So he forces Otis out early, and Otis complains because he's not getting his breakfast and having to leave early. And Otis even threatens not to come back to the jail because of his treatment. And Barney just says, we'll owe you one. Now, again, Caldwell's being brought to Mayberry before he's going to be taken on to Atlanta, and Barney's just trying to get the jail and the courthouse to look nice. He even tries to get Andy to wear a tie, and you can imagine how Andy reacted to that. But Barney cleans around, and what happens in the back room, Barney's, as Caldwell starts to come in, they hear the siren for the car bringing Dan Caldwell in. Barney decides to put the bullet back in his gun, the new bullet that Andy had given him. So he takes it out of his pocket, puts it in his gun, and, you know, probably doing it just in case he needed it. But he did not tell Andy he was going to do this. So that's a very crucial to the story. So again, as Dan Caldwell comes in, again, he's a convicted forger, swindler, and a confidence man. So Dan comes in, he's very friendly, and one of the opening scenes with Dan Caldwell in, and he gives the police officer who had brought him to Mayberry a cigar, and right away, Barney's excited, shakes Dan Caldwell's hand and won't even let go of it. But Andy's not taken in by him and basically keeps his distance. So as the episode goes on, and Gentleman Dan, or Uncle Dan, as Opie starts to call him, starts to get become very friendly with Barney, and Barney's taken in. Even Aunt Bee starts creating these extra meals for him. And probably what was most hurtful to Andy was Opie would come over and listen to stories by what he now called Uncle Dan. And these were basically robbery stories or busting out stories that enthralled Opie. And again, in another scene, Gentleman Dan's telling a story to Opie, and so sitting over at the desk is Barney, and again, he's just as interested as Opie in the story. So again, Andy walks in at one point, and Gentleman Dan's talking to Aunt Bee and Opie and Barney, and you see Andy come in the background, and you can see the concerned look on his face because he realized that everybody around him is starting to fall under the spell of Uncle Dan. So again, the confidence man at play tends to work here. Basically, the way the episode moves on is while no one's in the courthouse, Barney set up a gin rummy game with Gentleman Dan. They begin to play outside the outside the jail cell, and Gentleman Dan was going to have to reach his hands through to deliver cards, and so he sort of hints for Barney to come on into the jail cell. So Barney does. They set up the table, and then when Barney's dealing the cards, he drops the cards, leans over, and you see this scene where Gentleman Dan looks at Barney's hip and realizes Barney has a gun. So they deal out the cards, and Gentleman Dan takes a card, and he lays a card down, and he purposely drops it on the floor. Barney leans over to get it, and as Barney comes back up, Gentleman Dan's got the gun and points it at Barney and says, "This is the winning hand." So he makes Barney go into the jail cell. Gentleman Dan starts to get his hat and coat and come out. Aunt Bee and Opie come in. He's trying to force them in the cell, and then Andy comes in. So you see a sort of worried look on Andy's face, and then Andy asks him, says, "Where did you get the gun?" And he said, from your deputy sheriff. So Andy realizes that he's got Barney's gun, and Andy thinks there's no bullets in the gun. And so Gentleman Dan's threatening Andy, and at one point it gets a little bit of tension because he points the gun, pulls the trigger back at Andy, and Opie runs toward him and says, "You won't shoot my paw." And Andy says, "Well, of course he won't." He said, "Most circumstances he might, but he's not with that gun because there's no bullets in it." And, of course, Gentleman Dan thinks Andy's faking him. So Gentleman Dan points the gun to see. Now, you have to listen. He clicks the gun 5 times and thinks there's no bullets in it. So Andy walks over, takes the gun, puts Gentleman Dan back in the cell and says, you can't really do anything with the gun with no bullets in it. Points the gun at the ceiling, fires it, and the bullet was in there and shoots in the ceiling. And then the way the scene ends, Andy and Barney are both look like they just swallowed their bubble gum and sit down because Andy realizes he could have been shot, and Barney realizes that he could have gotten his cousin and best friend shot, and all because of his silliness of putting a bullet back in the gun. So again, another funny episode. I really like the fact at the end, the snippet they do at the end, Andy tells Barney he's really disappointed that somebody could take his gun away from him so easily, and Barney's trying to defend himself, and while in the midst of doing that, he leans over and Andy takes the gun from Barney without him knowing it again. So again, another way of Andy picking on Barney in a very lovable way. So again, this another great episode. Some interesting things about this episode. Gentleman Dan was played by a veteran character actor known as Dan Tobin. He appeared in a couple other things, but you might have seen him mostly as in Perry Mason as Terrence Clay. But again, he plays a very slick crook. And a line you hear him use over and over in this episode is, "On my word as a gentleman." He raises his right hand and says, "On my word as a gentleman." And Andy, you can see the upset look on Andy's face when Andy asks Opie to promise something, and Opie says, "On my word as a gentleman." So again, a very interesting character actor here. What's the trivia question? Again, the answer's in this episode if you watch it. How many minutes a day does Barney do gun drawing practice? Ooh, that's a good question for you trivia buffs out there. How many minutes a day does Barney do gun drawing practice? Now, again, you can email your answer to me, and I'll let you know if it's right or wrong, or if you just want to self-test, you can go to burkeonmayberry.com. That's Burke on Mayberry.com, and see the answer listed there. I also want to give you a little bit of background information. We've been talking about some of the other characters on the Andy Griffith Show. You notice there were more than one mayor on the Andy Griffith Show. You had a Mayor Pike and a Mayor Stoner. Mayor Pike, again, they played small roles, was played by Dick Elliott. And again, one of the episodes you'll see him on, maybe the most memorable for him, is when Mayberry Goes Hollywood, when they're going to make a film in Mayberry, and everybody starts dressing up in ways that isn't Mayberry, and they're going to cut down a tree. And fortunately, Andy saves the day. And then later on, you have Mayor Stoner, who appeared in a couple memorable episodes. And he was played by Parley Bear, and he's probably a more famous actor that you've seen in other things. And he came in, Parley Bear came in the third season. He was a very rigid type mayor, and what the conflict you would see in the Andy Griffith Show here was Mayor Stoner liked things done in a particular way, and Andy, you know, sort of laid back, and so you'd say Andy tried to do things his way, and there was always some friction there. Interestingly, and again, if there's a really good book, I've mentioned this many times before, by Richard Kelly called The Andy Griffith Show. Basically, they talked to Shelton Leonard about why they didn't use the mayor a little bit more, and basically it came down to finances. They had so many characters on the show, and while they didn't feel that the mayor really could provide that much more to the show, the author of the book, Richard Kelly, felt that they're probably wrong here, that, you know, the mayors did create problems for Andy, and so therefore could have created a lot of very interesting situations. But again, you had other contract actors. You know, for example, Otis was in many episodes, and later on Howard Sprague was on many episodes. You can only have so many, you know, when you're developing a television show. So again, very interesting situation there with having two mayors. Again, we noticed there were two Floyds, two mayors. Of course, it's more believable to have two mayors because someone can get you know, elected and dismissed. If you have any questions or comments about Burke on Mayberry, don't hesitate to contact me at burkek@etsu.edu. And as they'd say in Mayberry, my best to you and yours, and thanks for listening.